Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get us started. This is J.B. Crum III, and we are here with another Conscious Millionaire Expert interview. Today, you've got an incredible treat. I have Gary Ryan Blair with us. Gary's a mentor of mine, a friend. I've known him about 3 years, and I have to tell you, he is probably the global expert on goals and goal setting and goal accomplishment. He's built and sold companies. He owns multiple franchises. He's a very socially conscious entrepreneur who gives back. In fact, he's given over $2 million to causes that he believes in. He has youth programs for adults. He is really all about how do you become more productive and achieve excellence in your life. And today we're going to be talking about how do you achieve excellence as an entrepreneur by achieving your goals and setting goals. And what's necessary, because so many people set goals, but 95% of them they never achieve. So what's really necessary in order to actually achieve those goals and turn them into valuable results for yourself and your business? Gary, welcome to the call.
JB, thanks for having me, man. Look forward to it.
Well, great. You know, I want to jump in because the initial time people are going to be hearing this call is January 1st, and it's all about making resolutions. That's what we're all doing on New Year's Eve, and yet so many resolutions, you know, never get met. But I'm curious, what is the origin of people actually making resolutions?
That's an easy one. Actually, it, you know, like so many things, it either has a Greek or Latin origination to it, but this one goes back to a mythical god by the name of Janus. You're probably familiar with Janus Funds, the investment fund. Essentially, Janus is depicted on a coin with two heads, and the heads really symbolized the past, asked for forgiveness, and also pointed towards the future in terms of a new year, in terms of new opportunities, new blessings, new gifts, and so forth. So what the Roman soldiers did, and this is really where it came from, it was actually sort of part of a military ritual, if you will, but it was to ask for forgiveness for your sins, but also blessings for power and for strength in moving forward.
Interesting. So it really had two purposes, and only one was the outcome, but one was to ask for forgiveness and in that process accept that you weren't perfect in the past.
Yeah, it's true to it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. So in making resolutions, what have you found to be the two, three most significant factors that will lead to those resolutions likely to be followed through on and actually get results? What's the difference between people who make resolutions that get results and people who make resolutions and, like so many other people, nothing really actually comes of it?
Well, you know, there's quite a few, and this is a rabbit hole. We can go down a number of directions, but I'm a big believer in creating two lists, and most people have this list just the opposite of what I'm going to describe it, but you need a short yes list. And that really should really be only three things. If you own a business, listen, it could be a sales-related goal, it could be a profit-related goal, and it could be a service-related goal. Very simple, just one specific one in each area, but limit it to three. So what I'm getting at is you need a short yes list and you need a very long no list. But unfortunately, as I mentioned, many people have that one just reverse engineered, and they go just the opposite.
Okay, and are these three, and it's interesting because my system has three goals as well, and they're very similar to yours. The service one is how you transform your customer. How are you a better service to your customer and provide more value to them? The sales is your revenue, and the profits, what's left for you. Now, do you create those in resolutions? Do you say that it's best to create a one-year goal or a three-month, 100-day? What is the time frame that you think is most valuable?
Well, you certainly, if you're going to make a resolution, I mean, the most important part is that it has a deadline associated with it. So you've got to decide yourself if you're going to do this for a month, if it's for a quarter, if it's going to be annual. I guess the perspective I was taking was annually. But, JV, let me just go back and even take what you were talking about in terms of adding more value. That's a great concept. The challenge with that in itself is it's very ambiguous. It's almost like a CEO of a large organization saying we want to increase shareholder value. We hear those terms all the time. Perhaps another way of considering is a quantitative number that you want to be able to drive 25% more referrals from your existing customer base, or You want to have 100% referral-based business. You want to build it on that. That would force you to sit back and say, in order to drive or build 100% referral-based business, what are the things that we need to do in order to achieve that? Part of it is adding more value. Well, what does adding more value mean? Well, that needs to be quantified as well.
Okay, so let's go down that rabbit hole a bit, because in Conscious Millionaire, one of the big aspects of it is making a bigger difference in the world. So let's talk about the ways to quantify the difference that you're actually making for customers, because I agree it can become very ambiguous and amorphous, and you don't really know when is that occurring. So what are some ways that entrepreneurs can actually measure the difference they're creating for their customers?
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier just about some contributions and some stuff that I have done. As an example, for every ebook that I sell personally, there's $2 that actually get donated. And my primary thing basically goes for wounded warriors. And over time, that adds up. It adds up to a significant amount of money. And a couple things are happening here. It's very altruistic. It helps actually drive sales. It sends a real good message to everybody who comes in contact with you and your business that you stand for something more than just profit, if you will. So that's certainly one way to approach it.
So that's the bigger, greater cause than just making money.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, who are we? I mean, if we don't use our business wisely to provide value for our customer, but also how do we share those profits? How do we support people who, in some cases, can't support themselves or are in need of greater support? And I think it's very wise of us, and obviously I think you use the word conscious quite a bit, to be conscious, to be very aware of that and make deliberate choices in that direction.
Okay, so let's say that that's one piece of a two-prong approach to making a bigger difference. So one part is that you're taking a piece of what you bring in the business and you're giving it back in some way. And then the other part is that you're wanting to make a direct difference for your customer or client. How are some ways that we can measure that difference so that we know that what we're doing is actually providing more value rather than we're just assuming it might provide value?
I certainly understand. I'm going to use myself as an example, and I think this is a situation that a lot of entrepreneurs are in and many are not. And what I mean by that is, listen, if you're selling, you know, if you're selling bakery goods, cupcakes and, you know, pies and stuff like that, it's pretty easy to see what you're selling, what you're offering, and so forth. For me, in terms of someone coming up and joining, let's just say, a 100-day challenge, they have a number of different goals. It could be anything from starting a business to writing a book to losing weight to building muscle. So it's all over the place. So the perspective that I have on it is, what's the common element? What are the things that they all need to possess in order to achieve any of those outcomes? So the belief has to be, number one, for me, that while no two goals are the same, they all contain the same DNA. So what are the lessons? What are the things that I can do, if you will, to reinforce those virtues, those behaviors of discipline, of accountability, of focus, of commitment, of drive, of execution, of integrity, and so forth? And I build all of my lesson plans. I build all of my emails. I build everything on the reinforcement of positive virtue that I know with certainty drives results.
So one way to measure it is to look at how you are actually putting together your programs so that they're designed to provide the outcome that you know is the higher good that you want to provide.
You have to know with certainty, and there's no greater feeling than having, you know, having absolute certainty that this is the way to achieve a result. Once you know that, then it's just a matter of creatively coming up with ways to get the point across. Now, that in itself is interesting, because for me as somebody who's a writer who has to get the point across, I believe that the most important responsibility, if you're sending out a newsletter or anything like this, is to create an epiphany in the mind of your customer, is to have them read something that they may have picked up before or heard about, but see it through an entirely different lens. Now, that's a creative challenge that I think any of us are called to do.
So let's talk a little bit about, it's interesting, I wasn't going to go this direction, but I'm hearing you've got to know with certainty, and I agree with you, but the only way to get to certainty is to go through testing. So give some ideas about how using goals of creating tests of different landing pages, different offers, different products. Talk about that a bit in terms of how the entrepreneur who either is starting out or in the early stages wants to build their business quickly, how they're going to use testing and goal setting together.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, let me just park that for just a second and go back to the key word we both use, which was certainty. We hear a lot about these universal laws, laws of attraction and all of this other stuff. It's two things I want to drive a point across for everybody. Is what one is called the principle of certainty, and the other one is the principle, or you may want to call it the law of probability. And every business is, it should be based upon this, but most of us have never been taught this. So here's what I'm getting at. If you're getting paid to provide a service or a product, you must know with certainty in your mind that it works, why it works, and how it works better than any other solution out there in the marketplace. So what you're constantly doing is you're writing, you are presenting, you are pitching, you are doing whatever you're doing from a position of authority, from a position of absolute certainty. And here's where I'm getting at. I am certain that if I drink water, that there is going to have an impact, if you will, on my bladder if I have a gallon of it. I'm certain
Yes.
that the day after Tuesday is Wednesday. I am certain that, you know, that Christmas is the holiday just before the New Year. And, you know, and it a few days after that, a week after that, the New Year will come into play. You know, these are absolutes. And I think this is something that people sometimes don't even take the time to think about. But what are the absolute principles of certainty that you know work 100% of the time? Those are the strategies that you need to deploy. Now, from the standpoint of probability, here's where I'm getting at. Is, you know, if you go to Vegas and you walk into a casino, we both know that the odds are against you. So each one of us walks in with a big L on our forehead. It's a hostile environment, the way that it's set up. When you look at a business, when you're deploying something or teaching or sharing or selling, whatever it is, you have to play, or should we say pitch, what I call a high probability performance. Meaning, if someone were to deploy the strategies that you are suggesting, what are the chances from 50 to 60 to 70 or 90, if they deploy it and deploy it with rigorous consistency, will they achieve bigger, better, more radical results? That's something extremely important. And I just want to reinforce that because it seems so simple, but it's amazing how many people are a little bit kind of, you know, ambiguous, or should we say a little bit, you know, they've got some trepidation in terms of getting out some real good, solid, you know, advice or solutions to their customers. Now, coming back to the whole idea of goal setting, you know, I always use this example, and you and I have had this conversation. You know, you've got to break it down into its easiest, simplest components. And the solution to everything is always simple and elegant. So here's the best one for you. You take a triangle, real simple, and that triangle really has three points to it. There's what, there's why, and there's how. You can put them in any one of those points. It doesn't really matter. But the what is the goal. The criteria you need to be able to identify is it needs to be specific, it needs to be measurable, it needs to be deadline, it have a deadline associated with it. So you can't just say, I want to increase sales this year. That, you know, our objective is to increase sales by 14% with this product by June 15th. That's specific, that's measurable, that is deadline-driven. That is that has got a strong sense of commitment associated with it. The next one is the why, which is the motivational fuel. I mean, this is equivalent to, you know, your phone having a battery charge, gasoline in your car. You need fuel, you need motivation, you need psychological mojo in order to kind of execute. And then you have the how. The how is the implementation. What are all the steps it's going to take in order to achieve that? Well, I think the biggest mistake that many entrepreneurs make is they get so wrapped up in the how, in actually doing the engagement, and they don't realize that your job really is only to know the first two parts of that question, that equation. You need to know what
Right.
you want, and you need to know why you want it. You hire, you outsource people to actually do the how. You manage or oversee that. But you should not be wasting your time. Your job should be basically to be high up in the trees, to have a bigger, broader, much further vision than anybody else around you.
Yeah, and that is the principle we've talked about so much, and I have found it incredibly helpful in making decisions about my own business from the mentoring we've done, that as an entrepreneur, your job is the what, why, not the how. Because the how you can outsource. The how you can outsource on Elance, on Odesk, from networking to find people to help you. but you don't even have to understand the mechanics other than just enough to manage it so you know what's going on. What I liked about what we were talking about is that we're discussing that so many entrepreneurs starting out, it seems like if they just make a list of all the things you know for certain and then start from there based upon these certain things, what do you not know, and then go test to find out what is actually true in those categories. Would that be your perspective?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
So what would be some of the things that if an entrepreneur, let's say they're in the startup phase, because there are really three types of people who might be listening to this call. They're going to be startups, and they include people who might already at the present time have a job and they'd like to start up their first business. There'll be people who have a business but probably are stuck in several places and are looking for a way to get unstuck. And then there are people who are growing their business, but they're ready to go to an entirely new level. So if we address the startups first, what are the types of goals they should be focused on to get their business up and running in the fastest, most effective way?
Sure, sure. You know, we obviously have to speak about marketing because that really plays to the entire thing. But even before that, and quite frankly, the answer I'm going to give really applies to across the board to all those scenarios, JV. The purpose of a business, you could look at it and you could take Peter Drucker's example, which is to, you know, is to create a customer. And I certainly have that. And you need to be able to serve that customer. But ultimately, the purpose of your business is to monetize a solution to a problem. Just take the time to think about this. You know, when people go and they buy something at the store, whether it's food, whether it's gasoline, whether it's dental floss, you name the product, you name the service, it isn't really what it comes down to. They're basically buying a solution to a problem. So to emphasize and to dramatize this, because it really needs, and this is something I know with absolute certainty, that, listen, if your car breaks down on the side of the road, you have a problem. You're going to call AAA. You're going to find a way to get a gas can and walk 2 miles to the gas station. And you're going to solve that problem. If your child falls down and knocks a tooth out, you got a problem. You're going to take them down. You're going to go and get a cap or whatever it is. In the same way that if you got to wake up and you got a toothache, you probably have to go down and get a root canal this afternoon. It's just the way that it goes. You know, you get a flood in your basement, you got a problem. You call a plumber. I mean, bottom line is everything and every product and every service exists to solve a problem. So you have to begin with that mindset. Now you have to sit back and say to yourself is, what's the biggest problem, the most pervasive problem that exists in the marketplace that my customer is experiencing? How can I solve that quicker, faster, more creatively, whatever word you want to use? But ultimately, you have to look at it from this standpoint, okay? Yes, you have to provide tremendous value. You've got to do all of this. But ultimately, you have to monetize your solution. And that's the thing that most entrepreneurs don't even take the time to think about from the standpoint of what's the right way or the best way to go about doing this.
But, so let's break that down. What are the elements of monetizing?
Essentially, how are you going to make money off of this? I mean, what is the price plan going to be? So as an example, and so much of this does come down to in terms of pricing and everything else, but you know Michael Wilcox. You've met him before. He's a gentleman in Sarasota, Florida, who paid off a $192,000 mortgage in 100 days. How did he
right.
do it? He did it by, you know, honestly, he hired me. I sat down with him. We basically came up with a whole new monetization strategy for his business. What was he doing? He did like most entrepreneurs. They have one price point, one price plan. And I'm like, oh, God, you're killing me. And the price plan basically was he went in, basically got paid for performance, and out the door he went. And I said to him, I said, straight up front, I said, sign annual agreements. We changed his entire pricing program. This is a problem that's going to be pervasive, and you have to convince your customer rather than wait for the problem to present itself to take preventative maintenance. That you know, so 4 times a year, they're going to pay you to come in. So he wound up getting hundreds of people, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of like 700 people, to pay him an entire annual fee up front, which is an enormous amount of revenue. Then there was an upsell, there was a downsell, there was a cross-sell opportunity and referrals and a bunch of other services that he was willing to provide that we added to it. And in a very short period of time, his business literally increased tenfold. It was astonishing. And it was simply because we sat down and looked for different ways with which to be able to monetize a solution to the problem.
Okay, so the starting place then is to come up with what is the solution, to a major problem, because that's your low-hanging fruit. If you're choosing a big problem, that's low-hanging because everybody has it. And then look for multiple ways you can monetize the solution you're providing.
That's exactly right. Let me give you another example. Joel Shapiro, he's a buddy of mine. He's a veterinarian in Tampa, and actually in Clearwater. And Joel was stuck plateauing at a certain price point. And I went in and I looked at it, and I said, Joel, I said, you realize you have a very affluent customer here? I said, yeah. I said, you're charging the same rate. He says, the way I'm looking at it is you're looking at every customer as being the same. And the fact is not all customers are equal. Some will pay for more. And I said, why don't you come in when someone comes in for their dog to get a cleanup or whatever it is you want to do, to get a checkup, or they have a bellyache or whatever it is, why don't you have packages? Have a silver, gold, platinum. Have a different color package, whatever, a blue ribbon one, whatever you want to call it. I said, but I promise you, if you started to offer nail clipping, shampooing, this, that, and everything else, and tiered it, and then the ultimate one would be basically about 4 or 5 times higher than everyone else, I promise you there'll be a good 15-20% of the people who will take that because they want to pamper their dog. And we changed it and called it the Pampered Pet Program. Once again, you just found another way to monetize the problem, keep the customer happy, and just offer different tiers of the same service that he was offering. It's amazing in terms of what you can do and how you can drive new revenue without necessarily even bringing anyone new into the door.
So let's address the marketing aspect, because I found when coaching clients that one of the biggest areas they're not focused on is they aren't doing adequate marketing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the kinds of goals that people should be setting for their marketing so that they're going to have 2014, for example, be the best year that it could ever be, and it could be multiples of what they did in 2013.
You got it. Well, the first thing is the mindset you have to have with marketing. You've got to look at it as the same way you do as the shower in your house, that if you don't go in there and shower up, once a day, you're going to stink real fast. That's just the way that it goes. The same thing goes with marketing. It is a daily discipline. So first and foremost, you need to understand that. Next, marketing must consume a large part of your time. That's what you've got to be able to do. So look in terms of how much effort's going into that is really important. There really is a definitive one-to-one relationship between the two. Now, coming back to it, what do you need to do? It depends on the business, JV, but it's endless. But we live in a world where, Google runs the joint. And, you've got to realize that the numbers don't lie, that we live in times where marketing has become a science experiment, that you can get Google Analytics, you can look at the numbers, you know how many people visited your site, you know what time of the day, you know how long they stayed there for, and you know how many you convert. You need to look at the numbers, and that will allow you to determine what you need to adjust in your offering, what you need to change in your headlines, what you need to change in the colors on your page, or where you need to move your opt-in box or anything along that way. But that stuff's extremely important. And listen, I'm sure you're going to ask me more questions, but that's just the beginning of a long list of things.
Okay. So if we were to look at a typical person listening to this phone call, and they're wanting to come out of the box, they're wanting January to start doing 3 things that would increase their revenue. What is the short list of what they should be focused on?
Short list, real simple. You really have to take the time to ask yourself this question, and this is not even a marketing one, is how much money do you want to make? Truly, how much money do you want to make? Because then it just comes down to simple math. Then you look at the price point in terms of how many customers you need to bring in, what do you need to sell it for, and what is your profit margin. Do the math and have a very clear number in terms of how many customers it's going to take at your current expense rate in order to achieve this financial income. Strange as that is, it is astonishing as to how many people don't think about that. Because once you have that figured out, that's where Google Analytics comes in. Because as I said, it's a science experiment. So if you want to make $250,000, it's going to take you, so let's say, 618 customers in order to come in. Let's just say that's 2 new customers a day over the course of 365. What is it going to take in order for you to do it? Divide and conquer. Break it down into its smallest element. But first and foremost, that is the way with which you need to be able to look at it. Identify the numbers, do the math, and come up with some type of a formula. You do that before you start kind of implementing all of the other, other activities, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so that's your what and actually your why all put together. And then the how are the different marketing strategies and tactics.
That's a good part of it, yeah.
Okay, and so you're going to focus on that what, why, and then those marketing strategies, a lot of that, as we've talked, can be outsourced. You can go to eLansing or Odesk and say, okay, I need people who know how to drive traffic, and you start putting up job postings and could interview those people and find out different options for how you're going to drive the marketing. Because I hear a lot of entrepreneurs say, but I'm not really that good at marketing. And it sounds to me like they don't have to personally be good at marketing. They have to personally be good at knowing where they want to go and what kind of numbers they need to get.
Yeah, you just need to be good at determining what it is you want. There's always enough people out there who can do the implementation for you.
So let's circle back to, I've been through your 100-day program several times, and I'm excited to start it on January 1. I've got some powerful goals that I'm going to go for this time. And let's talk about how you actually constructed this program, because it's such a powerful program. I don't know of anything out there like it. And my God, it's so cost-effective. It's crazy. It's insane, the value. So what was the origin of the whole idea of even to put together a program like this? There's nothing that exists that's similar to it, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, no, there's not. And, you know, for the first couple of years, what I was doing, JV, I was doing strategic planning for a number of years, and I just got in the habit of coming up with a newsletter, if you will, that I sent out to my customers about what are you going to do for the last 100 days of the year, and it happens on September 23rd, year in and year out. And as time had gone on and I kind of matured the concept, I realized that, you know, there was a real sweet spot here. There was an opportunity. And then to exploit this, or should we say to emphasize this even more, what I was consumed with was the annual marketing calendar. And you asked before about a couple of different things that entrepreneurs can do. We talked about the money and turning it into a science experiment. You need to look at the annual marketing calendar and ask yourself, how do you exploit it? Because these are predictable evergreen events that take place year in and year out. So how do you exploit New Year's resolutions? How do you exploit Valentine's Day? How do you exploit President's Day? How do you exploit Easter? How do you exploit this? And so forth. And tie your solution creatively back towards, to engage, you know, clients.
And use these to add actually more value to your customers.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But there's a lot of things that you can do. But even like anything else, I mean, I even come up with newsletter creative things that kind of tie into events. The Final Four, the competition comes down, the brackets and everything else, ways you can do it. But here's the point. I'm answering your question a long way. I looked at the annual marketing calendar and I said, how do I come up with my own Groundhog Day, my own Easter, my own Grandmother's Day? And September 23rd was it. So the one thing about every evergreen event is they all have a story. So I needed a simple story. 265 days down, 100 days to go, what's the score? And if you're below target, you may as well kiss your behind goodbye if you think that you're going to be able to finish strong with the same lousy habits that got you behind target already this far in the year. Something has to change. So here's your opportunity to finish the year strong. So I created a very aggressive goal-setting program around that specific concept. And I got to tell you, I've had a few things in my life that have been lightning in a bottle, and I think some people never have that experience. I've had it happen twice, actually three times, and this is the biggest one by far. And since then, I've kind of expanded it, where now we do launches four times a year, and we're only open, as you know, 40 days during the course of the year, and have a scarcity-based model, which is another core marketing concept.
Well, you know, it's interesting because having watched the 100 videos so many times at this point, and some of them I just watch over and over again, because they're amazing. Every one of them is such an incredible nugget. But I've never shared this with you. I share the program with a lot of people, and I go, look, I want you to see this video. The video, my favorite video to show them is actually your first video, because it's so kick-ass, it's so in the face, and it's all about it's time to grow up and get serious.
Yeah.
And it's such a call to action that it's like by the time you finish listening to this 5-6 minute video, it's you're sold. That's what's so great about the program is the first video has such amazing buy-in. It's like you feel like you'd be an idiot not to have some great goals you were going for. So it makes it in a way easy to choose high goals for yourself because it just seems like the right thing to do.
There was no accident in terms of the order that I put those things in, but I appreciate that. But I think a lot of people do pick up on the that this thing kicks off with the crack of a whip, and it's probably that was really my intention. You know, here's the thing. We talked before about monetizing a solution to the problem. Let's see if we could tie a few things together and use the 100-day challenge as an example.
Right.
The problem that people have is, you know, everyone talks, and if I were to use the basic definition of success for most people, they would want to be in good shape. They want to have a certain level of health and happiness in their life, and they want to have a certain level of financial prosperity. So we'll use the word skinny, happy, and rich. But if you look at society, it's fat, it's broke, and it's depressed, it's overly medicated. There's a massive dichotomy between what people say they want and what they actually have in their life. This is what you would call the performance gap. So my job is to close that gap. That's really what this program is all about.
And so let's talk about the performance gap closure for entrepreneurs, because those are the people listening to this interview, and the 100-day challenge is really designed so that a business person can go forward and make some massive changes. And you talk about compressing time, because I know that 100 days is you've analogized it to 10 years worth of change. So what are some of the types of goals and changes that entrepreneurs could choose to use this 100-day challenge to achieve?
Well, the first thing that we try to do is to get people to realize you've got to change your beliefs of what is possible. So give you an example. The mortgage company has programmed in people's minds that it's a reasonable expectation to pay off your mortgage in 30 years or 20 years or 15, depending on what you signed up for. My feeling on it is, screw them. Why don't you find a way to pay it off in 100 days or at least 1 year? I mean, you've got to raise the bar. If you want to have big results in your life, you've got to ask bigger questions. You've got to raise bigger expectations. You've got to change your perspective. So this is a program really is designed to do just that, is to get you to look at your goals from the standpoint of radically increasing your income, radically increasing your profits, quickly eliminating debt or anything along that way, but fundamentally, whatever any type of performance outcome that you could think of, this program will help you to achieve it.
So the real answer to that question, what I just heard, is it's going to be on an individual performance level, what would be a massive increase for you of what was possible, and it's what would be raising that bar. So you're listening to the call, and $100,000 is what you want to make next year. Well, how could you make that $100,000 in 100 days? Or if you had a goal that you were going to make $1 million in 3 years, what could you actually do in 100 days to make $1 million? Because there are lots of people all over this country and all over the world that have started with nothing and have brought $1 million worth of revenue in 100 days.
You got
it. They simply decided they were going to figure out a way to do it.
Built into the challenge, and really I used a lot of different metaphors to kind of illustrate this, but in weight training they call it resistance training. And resistance training is very simple, is that if you keep going into the gym and lifting the same weight next week as you did the week before and the week before that, your muscles will never grow. They'll stay the same. And that's what happens with most people, is they don't continue to push themselves. They don't continue to try new things, so their profits, their numbers stay the same year after year after year. Henceforth, let's go negative on this or opposite. If you stop lifting weights, if you stop marketing, if you stop doing anything that progressively moves the ball forward, essentially, like a muscle, it will atrophy, it will die, it will weaken, and get flabby. And there's a lot of people with very weak, flabby marketing skills, marketing muscles. If you want to grow strong, if you want to increase your profits, you want to do anything in your life, you have to embrace what I call the principle of progressive resistance. You need to progressively put yourself in a position where you must perform. This is why your sales targets need to continue to increase. Now, should it be exponentially? I think at times you should bite off more than you can chew. It's worthwhile to go for a big goal. But for the most part, you should be shooting for a 5, 10, 15% income increase. But every entrepreneur who's listening to this, depending on the time of the year, but let's just say you're listening in early January, here's my advice to you. Sit back and say to yourself, you know, here's the bigger question. How do I turn my annual income into my monthly income? And before you do that, you have to break it down into quarterly. So how do you turn your annual income into your first quarter income? So how do you take all of last year's profits, all of last year's productivity, and get it done in the first 100 days of this year? That's a great way of looking at it. Because what it does is it takes a number you're already comfortable with, and you sit back and you say to yourself, in order for me to increase this, I need to a couple things. Number one, you're going to have to change certain things, do things better, increase your effort and intensity, but you'd have to work smarter and implement better strategies. And I think pushing the bar in terms of a 4x increase, I don't think that's too unrealistic.
Okay, so start with the 4x increase. I'm sitting here listening to you, and I've been through this so many times, and I can imagine when somebody hears that, they might be saying to themselves, oh, my God, that sounds so hard. And yet, does your method actually make it easier the way you've constructed the 100-day challenge?
Oh, it certainly does. But, you know, here's where you need evidence. You need certainty. You need some type of a comparative analysis. So let me give you two. We've seen for years the folks at Beachbody. This is the guys who do the P90X and the Insanity programs. And they've got video upon video, and I've got them as well. But what's happening here is people go from fat. They go from a lard ass to a lean, mean fighting machine in 90 days. And it happens again and again and again. And the fact is, the only way to get there is through hard work, is through implementing better strategies, by giving up and surrendering many of the things that you've done. I think it's pretty simple if you break it down and look at it and say, what is it going to take in order for me to go from a fat gut in order to a flat tummy? And these guys are pulling it off. So it is possible for you to have a radical body transformation. Why isn't it possible for you to have not to have a radical financial transformation, a radical relation transformation, a radical spiritual transformation, or a radical whatever it is, social transformation? And the fact is, it is possible. But again, it comes down to you have to be willing to open your mind to the idea of this possibility. I've seen it. I know it happens. I've seen it happen in my own life. So, but you know, that's where it needs to begin. I said I'd give you two examples. The other is I had done some at the very beginning of the Extreme Home Makeover. I was a consultant in terms of putting the program together, and I've since worked with the Food Channel and a couple of other organizations where I do our clients of mine. I do consulting work in terms of setting up criteria. Every single one of them is based around a challenge, so I know this concept very well. So let's use Extreme Home Makeover. Anyone who's built a house knows that it could take anywhere from 250 to, it could, for depending on the size of the house, could take a couple of years in order to build. But I'd say 250 days is a good number. These guys were doing week after week for 11 years. They were building a house in 7 days, a beautiful house in 7 days, not just some shack. How did they do it? Massive cause, massive effect. You know, a powerful cause, a solid strategy, a committed team of people. It's a whole host of things that were involved with it, but bottom line, I'll tell you this much, they were doing things differently in 7 days compared to the other people who would take 250 or 300 days in order to build a house. It's just the way that it goes, but it's powerful.
So, you know, a question just came to mind. Is this the type of program you should sign up for alone, or should you do it with a group of other entrepreneurs? I mean, what are the options that you think people should consider and how they actually sign up and go through this program?
Listen, if you've got the horsepower, you'll get a lot of benefit from the program. However, you will receive much more benefit if you do this as a team, as a family, as some type of a group or unified organization, for the simple reason that there's strength in numbers. There's massive motivation. But the key, there's multiple levels of accountability if everybody takes it seriously. That's the key point to it. But let me also stress this one thing, because this even goes back to, you know, the food channels and stuff like that and the competitions. One of the examples I use in every one of my presentations, and everyone thinks this is funny, but I show a picture of a guy at a car wash, and the countdown is coming down, and, you know, you've got 90 seconds with which to clean your car, and you're going along at your own pace, and all of a sudden you hear beep, 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 you've got 20 seconds left. It is interesting to see how people move that much faster when the countdown is coming, right? You've seen this, JV, you know what I'm talking about.
And I've used those to wash my car, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, here's the deal, is that what a deadline does is it forces you to perform. It forces you to get the work done. And what always amazes me is how much work gets done in the final push. It really is, just because there is a deadline, because there are no other options, because the game is over and you go home, you're voted off the island, whatever it comes down to. But deadlines are such powerful tools. And throughout the 100-day challenge, what I'm constantly doing is I'm driving the idea of accountability and implementation of deadlines throughout the day. By doing that, by combining those two things, that in itself does just wonderful things for your performance.
So clearly the program's designed, and, you know, I've recommended it to lots of people. It's designed for people who have made a decision that they want something more. They want something more in their life, in their business, in their relationships, spiritually, in their give back. But in some area of their life, they want something more than they have now, and they're dissatisfied with the status quo. But is there anybody that it's not, you know, is not really going to benefit from this program?
Yeah, you know, the thumb suckers, the people who bellyache, the ones who have a conditional habit of being negative or cynical or anything along that way. This program will steamroll you. It will reinforce every one of your insecurities that you've already been embedded. Bottom line is, this is a program for serious people who are committed to making serious change. And by doing so, you will absolutely fall in love with the way that it's presented and the quality of the content. But that's pretty much the way I would address that question.
Well, and I have to say that I watch this, you know, I personally have an iPhone, but you've got it for the Android. You've got the apps. And when I wake up in the morning, my typical way to watch the 5-6 minute video is I have my phone by my bed and I pick it up and I watch it while I'm still in bed. It's my wake up. And I mean, you can watch it on the PC or your Mac and you've got a big screen, but I love the portability that I can watch this anywhere and that it's easy. It's an easy way to start my day and get me motivated. So I'd really enjoy that aspect.
Well, JV, think about this for a minute. Anybody who gets in the challenge, I want to speak marketing. Put aside me and the program and anything else right now. If I were to look at this and really break it down, and I designed it this way, so it's no accident, but many businesses that are out there is a one-off sale. You go in, you buy a piece of furniture, you won't be back in the place for 10 years or 12 years. You're just not going to need another couch. It just comes the way the experience goes. The 100-day challenge, the way that it's set up is it's a habit-based program. Is that you don't know what's coming the next day. And I have amazing continuity because people are logging in. But just think about this as an entrepreneur. If you can get your customers to interact with you in your program, your offering, every day at a specific time of the day, and to drive better results, I got to tell you, they'll stick with you for life. That's the magic behind this program, and I spend a lot of time looking at psychological triggers, but that's a key component, and you're reinforcing it without even us even really discussing it.
So let's talk about what exactly is the investment in this program, and do you have any guarantee that you provide people?
Yeah, it's I would basically call it an impulse buy. It's priced at $147. So for $1.47 per day, you get the world's best goal setting and performance execution program you'll ever see in your life. From a guarantee standpoint, pretty simple. If you don't like it, let us know. We'll refund your money. It's pretty simple and straightforward. I will tell you this much. Who uses this program? And I know this question you haven't asked me, but this is being used by the Navy SEALs. This is being used by Olympic athletes. This is being used by 60% of the Fortune 500. This is being used by literally over 325,000 people in 80 countries around the world. We haven't got these numbers and these type of participants or quality of participants if this stuff didn't work. So I priced it, obviously because it's delivered on the Internet, we could scale it and drive the cost down, but my goodness, it is probably the greatest bargain you'll ever find in your life.
Yeah, I said at the beginning of this interview, it's just a crazy, insane value.
Yeah.
And I think I'm about to go through it my fifth or sixth time. That's how valuable it is, and every time I listen to the video, every time I go through it, I get another layer of insight. And I go, oh, I didn't see that quite that way before. So I would encourage anyone listening to this, if you are ready, you're serious, to actually make this the best 100 days of your life and to make 2014 the best year in your business, Then if you're at the membership site, the link is a 100-day challenge. If you're getting this in an email, it'll have both the audio and there'll be a link 100-day challenge. But there is a limited time because every time you launch this, how many days do you have it open for people to sign up, Gary?
I just do it on the quarters. And a large part of that is because I do it just to focus in on a key individual message. So beginning of the year, first 10 days of the second quarter, first 10 days of the third quarter, and obviously the last 100 days of the year.
So if you're listening to this, we're recording this early because of the holidays. I'm actually in Denver while I'm recording this, and Gary's in Clearwater. Typically, I'm in Tampa. And so I'm going to send this out on the 1st of January. So actually, you have just a little over a week. So you need to go click on that link and take a look at this program. I can tell you it's one of the best things I've ever done, and I've spent, I would say over $350,000, I added it up, in what I've put into my own personal transformation and education and programs, and this is probably the cheapest, the least expensive, and yet one of the highest value things I've ever done, and that's why I wanted to have Gary on for an expert call, because I know the value that you personally can get from this program. Gary, is there anything else you'd like to add? And I just want to thank you for taking your time. I know how busy you are with your launch, for actually doing this interview with me.
Well, listen, I appreciate the good work that you're doing, my man. Let me give everybody, I talked before about math, so let me give you one more math equation. It'd be a good way to wrap up. There's 525,600 minutes in a year. To go back to the idea how much money you want to make, you need to identify what your time is worth. My suggestion, take last year's income, divide it into 525,600. And to put a little bit more meat on the bones, if you make $1 million, your time is worth $1.92 per minute. If you make $525,600, your time is worth $1 per minute. It's just the way that it goes. So where I'm getting at here with this whole thing is that if you want to increase your income, you have to really create a short yes list, decide what you're going to focus on, those core things. You've got to put your time and emphasis on maximizing the value that you provide to your customers, because running around implementing lousy strategies or procrastinating or uncertainty or anything that you're doing, it unfortunately is not adding value or driving your bottom line. It's certainly taking you away from it. But realize that time is money. It's an unrecoverable asset. Determine what it's worth and find ways with which to increase the value of every minute of every day, of every second throughout your life. That's the smart way to look at it.
Well, Gary, again, thank you for being on our expert call. And to everyone, you can access the link on the membership site. If you're a member, it's a 100-day challenge. If you're getting this in an email, the link will be in the email. It's a 100-day challenge. I strongly suggest you click on that, check this out, watch Gary's videos. It's an incredible program, and I'm wishing all of you an amazing beginning to 2014. Thanks for being on the call, Gary, and thanks for everyone for listening.